Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to a Taco Tuesday, because, you know, it's all about food. Yesterday was Meatloaf Monday. Today is Taco Tuesday. Hit it, man.
But more importantly, y'all know what today is, right?
It's Taco Tuesday!
Woo! Yes, indeed. Woo! Hope you guys are doing well. Taco Tuesday. Everybody's hungry now. We got a great show laid on for you, and pushing the button so ably on the board, except that my board was turned off. It's JP.
You know, I think I forgot to turn it off yesterday, so then when I went to turn it on today, I was actually turning it off. So that's what happened.
Nice. Okay. No worries. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. A little cold, but other than that, I'm all right.
You were just telling me.
Yep.
All right, so your brother, one of my many nephews,
yep,
is literally a weather guy.
Yep. Meteorologist, been on TV.
And yeah, and we have like some serious potential for snow coming.
He's claiming he's predicting that Huntsville gets a foot of snow on Friday, and he predicted we get around an inch to maybe a little bit more. But yeah, it's nuts.
I look at this and think, wait a minute, we were in short sleeves at Christmas time, and now we're talking about snow.
I find it funny, though, I leave Huntsville, and now the snow comes, but when I was there, I feel like the snow always missed us, so maybe it's me.
So now that you and I have just alarmed most of North Alabama, there's a complete run on every grocery store for milk, bread, and eggs.
Everybody's going to the grocery store right now, as we speak.
just bellying up to the bar, getting all the milk and bread they can possibly find. All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. I got a guest coming on at 3 p.m. who's been on with us several times. Ryan Cantrell is with the American Federation of Children. Ryan does a great job in the era of school choice on a national scale. And he's going to be on the show with us at 3 o'clock today to talk about some new developments and things you might want to know, even right here in Alabama. And it's at 3 o'clock today, Ryan Cantrell. And then I got a triple dipper full of stuff, so hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, school choice is here. That's a pretty simple title, but there it is. In case you did not know, if you are the parents or guardians of a child in Alabama, right now, as we speak, you could be applying online for upwards of $7,000 per child to take care of their education. And that's just new, so don't think you've been missing it. That law was just passed this past year. It's part of the new Choose Act in Alabama. We're going to talk about that. And also, oh, by the way, what's happening around the nation as we're watching school choice become more and more of a thing. School choice is here. That's number one, the Triple Dipper. And then number two, yeah, I didn't get to it yesterday. Oh, we're going to get to it today. I got a whole pile of jackassery. Like jackassery ad nauseum, jackassery like a buffet of it, like jackassery beyond what you might imagine. Jackassery is number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, illegals. And this is one of the most grieving things that I think I've seen in recent years, this constant series of news stories where someone is murdered, someone is raped, someone is accosted, someone is robbed, someone deals with crime against them or their person, and it's by an illegal, somebody who is not even supposed to be here. The crime itself is bad enough, made all the worse by the fact that this person, the crime wouldn't have happened if the borders had been shut and this person would not have been here to do that. That's where we are right now. And I'm telling you, This is a thing that has to be dealt with. And I'm really proud of the fact that, by the way, our U.S. Congress just today passed a bill sponsored by none other than our own Katie Britt called the Lake and Riley Act. And it's going to take care of some things, we hope, if they can get it passed through the Senate. But it's kind of ugly that we're in the place that we are. And I'm watching to see if the Senate is going to take care of this. All right, well, let me jump on over here to the opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue, and I remind you guys that every single day, the Right Side Way monologue is sponsored for you by attorney Stan McDonald from the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in a few minutes. So let me talk about this. So I don't know if you've been tracking the changes being made to education in Montgomery, right here in Alabama, or in other state capitals around the nation, but there's been a major fight between the usual suspects of the teachers' union, the school board associations, and those who believe that education just cannot be improved without making some serious changes. And there is nowhere to go but up around here, because Alabama is in, like, you know, last place, right here in the 21st century, last place. You heard me, dead last. I mean, there used to be a time when people could shrug their shoulders and say, well, thank goodness for Mississippi, because they always ranked below us, but not anymore. Alabama is last in the nation in education, dead last. And you know the old adage that continuing to do the same thing over and over again, expecting the same result, is just the definition of insanity. But this past year, Republicans in Alabama finally threw off the yoke of oppression from days past, and they passed what became known as the CHOOSE Act. CHOOSE, it's an acronym. It stands for Creating Hope and Opportunity for Our Students' Education. It's a full-on comprehensive school choice bill that allows education dollars to be spent on the education of a child and not the feeding of a bloated, failing bureaucracy called the Department of Education. Parents actually apply for the funds, and then the parents get to decide how they're applied. I mean, take your pick. Do you want to change schools? Do you want to stay in the same school? Private schools? Home schools? Parents and legal guardians are given the say-so and the funds to go with the child. I mean, why not? It's their tax dollars, and it's their child. This is an exciting change of the status quo for Alabama, and we have nowhere to go but up, like I said. Donald Trump, he said that the school choice issue is the civil rights issue of our lifetime. And I believe he's right. And the wave is sweeping the nation. State-level leadership and Republicans in various offices who say they want to fix education, they're going to be confronted with the opportunity to do so. Because school choice, it's in the state houses around America in a big way right now. But it's going to take more than just political will. It's going to take statesmen. It's going to take leadership. It's going to take a fight. So as I was pondering all this, I also stumbled across a summary of what one person believes should be counted as the top quotes of General George Patton. Okay, stay with me here. What if General Patton ran education? What if the same personality, the same quotes that took us to victory in the arena of warfare in World War II could be applied to changing the dynamic of our state or any state? Well, let me run through some of the quotes with you and tell you why. Here's the first one. You ready? If everyone's thinking alike, then somebody ain't thinking. If everybody isn't thinking, is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. The next time someone tells you that we're doing fine, that we're going to put more money into it, it'll all work out, remind them that the level of creativity is the reason why we're dead last. There has to be a change in the dynamic. There has to be a means to educate our children without continually feeding the beast of education. If everyone's thinking alike, then someone isn't thinking. Here's another one. Patton said, "I don't measure a man's success by how high he climbs, but how high he bounces when he hits the bottom." Well, we're at the bottom. Right now. That's a given. Do we just lay there and wallow in our continual educational misery? Or if we do, then many kids around the state whose parents can't afford to move them to better opportunities would continually be relegated to less than what they deserve. Studies have proven that quality education is one of the surest means to overcome the cycles of poverty. We have to bounce from the bottom. And I hope the CHOOSE Act that they passed is going to help us do just that. How about this? Here's another quote. When there is fear of failure, there will be failure. I mean, is it scary to do something new? Of course it is. There's never been success without risk. But when you're already last, there's nowhere to go but up. A few years ago, I was proud to stand among other legislators in the state of Alabama to face down the teachers' union and pass the first ever pieces of school choice that we ever saw in Alabama. We also freed up teachers from the burden of being forced to pay dues for an organization that holds their profession down. We even gave teachers a stipend for achieving their national level certifications. And the teachers' union fought us every step of the way, nasty and desperate. Well, if legislators fear failure, if they fear the teachers' union, then they will stay in paralysis and nothing will happen except more failure. How about this quote? You ready? Never tell people how to do things. Tell them what to do, and they will surprise you then with their ingenuity. What an amazing thought that we should trust parents. Wouldn't that be novel? Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer. Here are the funds you already paid in the system. How would you like to use those for your child? Single moms, grandparents raising kids, legal guardians, all trying their best to change the life of just one kid. And the level of ingenuity they could express in the development of that child's education would astound the old school naysayers. Isn't it time that we gave them the right to actually use some of that ingenuity? How about this one? Do not try to make circumstances fit your plans. Make your plans that fit your circumstances. Patton said that. The circumstances we find ourselves in right now are the archetypical evidence of trying poorly over the years to react, to form the perfect moment. It doesn't work that way. Strategy is the combination of planning and tactics and the application of resources in such a way that the circumstances are driven by the plan, not the other way around. If we just continue to sit idly by and hope for the best and throw some more money at education, we'll only be staring at the perpetuation of our given circumstances. It is past time that we strategize as a means of reaching the goal of quality education for every child that puts the child at the front of the plan and thereby change the child's circumstances. Here's one for you. Patton said, moral courage is the most valuable and usually the most absent characteristic in men. Well, I told you it's going to take statesmen, right? This is going to take some steel fiber and some legislators around the nation. And I'm so proud of what we saw in Montgomery this past year. Many legislators have already been accustomed to taking their campaign donations from the teachers union, despite the fact that the Republican Party in most states urges them not to do so. I mean, you ask any one of us who were in the 2010 class of the legislature in Alabama, it was a daily fight. I got all the hate mail. They tried to dox me. They published my cell phone number in their teachers union journal. They drew caricatures of me. People dropped threatening letters in my home mailbox without a stamp, which means they had to come to my house to drop it off. And I was not alone, by the way. But we still won. You know why? Because we stood up to them. We had some moral fiber. Legislators in states that are still considering school choice, they either take the stand now with all the moral courage that it requires, or the status quo elitists are going to know they can beat you up and get your lunch money anytime they want to. And the public's going to know it and see it too. Yeah, those are great quotes, man. Those are awesome quotes. And those are quotes from a warrior. Those are quotes from somebody who overcame odds. Those are quotes from somebody who actually led people to overcome odds. Can you imagine if General George Patton was around to take charge of education in any state, much less Alabama? This is what it takes. It takes a strength of will, a statesmanlike view, a willingness to recognize that dollars are there for the child, not for the system. Bureaucrats will wring their hands. Teachers and teachers union sycophants will shout and scream. They always do. But education of a child will be retooled if they will stand their ground and see their constituents and not their paychecks in their campaign coffers. The Choose Act in Alabama, it kicks off this month. And I, for one, am super excited about what that means. We have nowhere to go but up. And maybe, there's a few of Patton's troops in the state houses around this nation ready to do more. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Yes, I think that Patton would have kicked tail and taken names. Those quotes, though, think about that. Those quotes that he attributed to the kind of people it took to win battles. Well, maybe that's what it takes to win fights like in the teachers union battles we've had in the state houses here in Alabama and others. But it's time, because it's for the kids. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. The text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text her to call it, same number for both. I got somebody on the phone that I'll go to momentarily, but let me real quickly remind you guys. So the Right Side Way monologue that I just finished a moment ago is sponsored for you daily by attorney Stan McDonald. So attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee in Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran, y'all, in the practice of law. I know him personally. I think the world of him. And not only is Stan going to advocate and fight for your legal needs, but I'm going to tell you right now, he has been an absolute warrior for all the causes that Right Side Ruffians care about here in the state of Alabama for many years. Now, attorney Stan McDonald, he has represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions. He can also represent you in front of any local, state, or federal court. When Stan McDonald's on your side, I like to say you have no greater friend and your adversaries have no greater foe. Yeah. Attorney Stan McDonald, law firm of Wilmer and Lee. Here's how you reach him. You ready? I'm going to give you a phone number. Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. And tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'd appreciate that. I got to do the thing. No representation made the quality legal source before is great quality legal source before the lawyers. Or something like that. Let me go to the phones. I got a couple of minutes before I go to the break. Wendy from Moulton's on the phone. Hey, Wendy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
First of all, thank you for taking my call. It was funny because right before I was waiting for your show to come on, and I was thinking about something that had just happened to my grandson concerning his school. And I said to myself, I wish that they would bring this subject up because I know you don't like to talk about things off topic. So
I read your
and
mind.
Right when you came on, you started talking about it, and I'm like, I have to call. So,
well, outstanding.
So yesterday, I'll just get straight to it. My grandson's in kindergarten in Morgan County Schools.
All right.
And yesterday, the principal of Danville Elementary School called my daughter and said, you need to come withdraw your son. And she said, why? He has too many absences. So my daughter was, she was like, well, he's got doctor's excuses for all his absences. He had COVID and this and that. So she told her that the state don't recognize doctor's excuses and that she needs to come withdraw her son and enroll him in the school in his district. And he's out of district in Danville School.
And hey, Wendy,
Hey, Wendy,
I've got like 10 more seconds. I hate to do this, but I want to hear the rest of your story. Do you want to hold on during the break and come right back and finish up?
Oh, I can.
All
sure.
Right. Well, let's do that because the music's already playing, and I do not want to cut you off, but I got to go to a break and give our advertisers some chances here, and then we'll come right back and get you on the line, okay? All right, we're doing it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama, y'all. Alabama. And I mean, this show goes from the top of Huntsville down to Birmingham and from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And next Monday, we go live on WGOW out of Chattanooga. So, oh, yeah, picking up a whole swath of East Tennessee, Northwest Georgia, and Northeast Alabama that we didn't already have. I'm loving it. So thank you all very much. Let me go to the phones real quick. Wendy from Moulton is still on the line, I hope. Wendy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wendy, thank you so much. You were telling us about your grandson that the school called and said, come get your child because they didn't like his absences and they weren't going to credit him for doctor's excuses. So give us the nutshell version. What's going on?
Okay, so like I said before, he's out of district. He was accepted into the school as an out-of-district student. So when they called, they said, with him being out of district, that she needed to come withdraw him and enroll him in his in-district school because of his absences. So she questioned this, and she went to the school, and when she got there, the principal had left, so she couldn't talk to her.
Yeah, go figure.
So she called the Board of Education. The Board of Education was like, no, that's not true. The state does consider doctor's excuses. So she went ahead and withdrew him from the school, still without knowledge of why. So after we were, like, discussing it with a few other people, we started finding out that it's happening a lot in Morgan County. So that I'm upset about it, and I just wanted to put it out there on your show because Morgan County schools are kicking out-of-district kids out of their schools, and they're saying it's because of absences
And hopefully what's going to wind up happening is your was it your daughter or your son that has the child?
This is my daughter.
This is your daughter. Hopefully your daughter is going to be able to make some decisions in the near future and decide where they want him to go no matter what the school says, because that's what school choice is about. So, hey, thanks for hanging on so much during the break. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. See you, Wendy. That's the thing is right now, and this is not even part of my notes. Let me just jump on something real quick. What Wendy just described is a situation where I mean, have you ever been to a place where they knew they were the only ones around and you weren't going to get what they had anywhere else, so they didn't have to have good customer service? You ever been there? I mean, you ever been to a restaurant where they know they're the only ones in town that's open on a certain day? They could care less what your feelings are. You serve them, not the other way around. Or you find out that there's a grocery store and it's the only store in town because it's a small town and there's no other place to shop. And customer service sucks because of it. And that's what's happened too much in the education environment. Now, not everywhere. I've got educators in my family. And there's some wonderful rank-and-file folks in the realm of education. And I get that. But there's also some jackwagons that have totally lost the idea that they are there to serve the kids. And they are there to provide more than just a babysitting service at their convenience. When they're not on holidays, they're there to actually provide a meaningful educational experience because that's what the taxes are paid for. So I'll say it again. Anytime somebody says to you, "Well, I just don't know about the school choice. I mean, that's, you know, it's gonna hurt public education." No, it's not. Public education hurts public education. Public education is its own worst enemy. Public education breeds bureaucracy. Public education is not bad in and of itself. I'm a product of public education. My entire life, I'm a product of public education. But there's a reason why we're last in the nation. And there's a reason why we won't get out of last in the nation. It's because so often it's been the bureaucracy and the system. And don't you understand the teachers' union? And don't you get it? And this is about the... So here's the questions. If you're ever in a debate with someone, like let's say you've got the ardent teachers union member who's in your family and they come to dinner for Thanksgiving and you have no choice but to enter the conversation, here's the two questions that will disarm the whole thing. You ready? Here's the two questions. Number one, ask them, well, do you believe that tax dollars that are paid in to the system are there to support the system or the child? If they say the system, then they don't believe in school choice. If they say the child, they have to believe in school choice. That's number one. Do you believe the dollars that are paid in by taxes are there for the system or the child? And here's the next question. Follow up with this. Okay, then let me ask you this one. Do you believe that the best person to make the educational decisions for a child are the system or the parents or legal guardians? If you believe it's the system, you don't believe in school choice. If you believe it's the parents or the legal guardians who have the better say in what's needed for the child, well, it's a whole new day at that point. So yeah, that's it. Those two questions right there are the defining questions, and how they answer are the defining answers as to anything related to school choice, and you can disarm a teachers union member by getting them to answer those two things. Well, that's not really a fair question. I mean, how can you say that? We have to support the people, and we have to, and don't you understand that buildings cost money, and we have to do, all right, so if you have to go further, ask them if they understand what the free market is. I'm talking about education. Yes, I know you are. Let's talk about the free market. What do you mean by that? I mean, in the private sector, if you have a business, whether it be products or services, it doesn't matter, you build the better mousetrap, right? You build the better mousetrap, people beat a path to your door. You don't build the better mousetrap and the guy down the street builds the better mousetrap, guess what? You lose business. The only place in the world where you're allowed to fail and come back the next year and get the same amount of money to fail again is in the realm of government, and a part of government is public education. So they're allowed to fail and then fail again and then fail a third time and then just fail as a part of life. And they expect to show up the next year and get their appropriation and their cost of living adjustments, and their concessions for the teachers union, and, you know, curriculum that you don't have any right to have a say in because you're just a parent. And the reality is, that's not the free market. The free market allows for competition. The free market allows for innovation. The free market allows for someone who is failing to be shut down or moved out. Good luck getting that done in public education.
Well, I think, too, like, if people are paying taxes for schools that the state can't make of good quality for their kid, then they shouldn't have to keep paying, or they should at least be rewarded back their tax dollars to go send them somewhere else.
Like,
if that's not, if the state's not able to provide a good enough product, then why should they, like, why should they spend the tax dollars to fund that system if they're, it's not good enough for their kid?
Absolutely. That's a great, I mean, yes, absolutely. And if the kid is stuck in a failing school because, who ever heard of a zip code defining anything else in your life?
Yeah.
Think about it. Your zip code defines where you go to school. Now, I understand at some point they had to decide, okay, how are we going to break this up? I don't know. How about zip codes? But let's look at this. What if I told you you could only buy groceries in your zip code? And the grocery store where you had, it never had milk or bread. The produce sucked. There was no meat market. And you're like, well, why do I want to? I'll drive across town and go to the better supermarket. No, I'm sorry, that's not in your zip code. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, I drove 30 minutes every day for 4 years to go to high school instead of go to my city school. So, I mean,
that's true. You did, and you wound up with a pretty good education. Mm-hmm. And look at you now.
Wouldn't be here if I went to city schools.
You've got educators in your family. I mean, it's our family. But yes, you know, I'm saying we have wonderful people in the rank and file in both public and private education arenas in our family. And so this is not a reflection on the people. This is a reflection on the system that has become bloated and lost its way. Yeah. Now, here's the other thing, too. The zip code thing. What if you found out that the city council in your town put an ordinance in place that said that no one else is allowed to set up a grocery store? Just one. It's like, you know, ABC Groceries. I'm sorry, the city council passed a resolution. We will authorize no additional grocery stores. You can't do that. That's not the free market. I'm sorry. We're the city council, and we know what's best for you. You will buy your produce at ABC Groceries. But I want better variety. I want better prices. No, ABC Groceries will take care of you. But they know they're the only game in town now, so they'll never have a sale. They'll never put discounts. They won't do coupons. They're like, they don't have to up their game. They'll only have one register open when it's really crowded. I mean, why would I want to keep going there? Because it's the only one you're allowed to have. Why? Because we're the government and we say so. You know how long that would last?
Not very long.
I got news, man. There would be, you know, pitchforks and torches marching on City Hall.
But also, I like it's the people's money. Like, it's not that people act like the state is gifting them. It's their money that they're getting back.
Good point.
It's their own money. So
yes, and the nice thing about this is the education savings accounts that the CHOOSE Act in Alabama now allows. So I tell you what, let me do this real quick before we go to the break. I'll do this. So I'm skipping ahead. I mean, I've totally blown my resource stack. I'm all over the place. Alabama families can apply for $7,000 in school tuition via the CHOOSE Act. So this story came out from AL.com. Phil, did you go to liberalal.com? I did. They had one of the best write-ups. I couldn't help it. The CHOOSE Act, a new school choice program passed in 2024 by the legislature, allows students in K-12 all over the state to apply for support if they want to go to a private school. And by the way, this is where liberalal.com comes in because they focus on the private school. No, I'm sorry. It's education expenses, it's tuition, it's helping you with the cost of moving to a better public school. It's also, by the way, homeschool. It's all kinds of things. It's educational choice. So Governor Ivey was proud to talk about it. Listen, I will pick on her when I need to, but I call balls and strikes, and this was a good one, all right? Alabama families, she said, can start the new year with a great opportunity for school choice in their communities. The CHOOSE Act will help Alabama students receive the highest quality education possible by giving flexibility to families. And anyway, the bottom line is you can go to a website. It's run by the state of Alabama called chooseact.alabama.gov. That's chooseact.alabama.gov. And that's where you actually fill out the application to apply for an education savings account. You actually fill out the application and you say, I've got one kid, two kids, three kids, whatever the case may be. But students beginning this year can start getting money for their children's education to do something different than what they're in right now. Now, you don't have to change. I mean, if you like where you are, like there's some really good public schools out there. Like when we were raising our kids, Our son went to a wonderful school in Gadsden called Ira Brown. It was a blue ribbon school. Ira Brown is like gotten all kinds of presidential awards. So he went to elementary school at Ira Brown, a public school. And then we transferred to Westbrook, which was a great school where Charlene, my wife, taught for 15 years. And I was actually on the board for a while. And our kids did most of their growing up there. But that being said, tuition is something. And not everybody can do that kind of thing. But you can actually get an ESA in your child's name for up to $7,000 to use as you see fit. Go to chooseact.alabama.gov and take a look at it. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back. I'm still doing this, and I got to tell you what other states are doing too. And oh, by the way, they just opened up the applications for the Choose Act. They had 2,800 applications in day one. 2,800 parents or legal guardians applied to get their kids' Choose Act funds on day one. That's awesome. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We're on the topic of school choice. School choice is here, y'all. School choice is here in Alabama in a big, big way. So they passed the Choose Act this past year. And this is a part of what I would have to call somewhat of a nationwide movement. All right, Alabama wasn't first, but also weren't last on this, and I'm glad. And the Choose Act, as it kicks off, and I was just texting with a family member a minute ago to make sure they remembered about this, but the Choose Act, it kicks off right now, and for the first 2 years, 2025, 2026, there is an income threshold. Like, if you make too much money, they're not going to do it. And that's because they wanted to give folks who are less capable of affording a transition in their child's education the first opportunity to do this. It also gives it a beta test. It sort of keeps things from being like too many all at once. Well, I got news. 2,800 applications in the first day. What does that tell you? There's a whole bunch of parents and legal guardians going, "We're in and we want out." And they're saying, "Send it." So that just happened in the last, because they opened it up January 1st. And all of a sudden, shabam, I got a story here on Yellowhammer News. 2,800 applications occurred in the first day, according to the Alabama Department of Revenue. That's 4,800 children represented by 2,800 applications. It says Alabama families, oh, I'm sorry, that's the quote I read in the mail. Alabama Policy Institute thanked the governor and told parents to please exercise your parental rights and apply for the ESAs. Now, in the year 2027, it opens up for everybody regardless of income. It won't matter. I mean, the reality is, if you make a lot of money, it doesn't mean those still aren't your tax dollars. I understand that they had to probably throw a bone to some of the naysayers and the fearmongers and slow the roll for the first 2 years, but that's all, the first 2 years. So if you're above the income threshold for the first 2 years, just know it's coming, don't worry. But it's K through 12. But yeah, that is an ongoing thing right now as parents are applying. Go to the Alabama Department of Revenue and look up the Choose Act, and you'll find it. Now, this is happening all over the place, and as we move towards Tennessee, because we're about to go live in Chattanooga, let me just tell you, you hear me talk about the Alabama Policy Institute all the time. Well, the API version in Tennessee is called the Beacon Center, and the Beacon Center just recently did a poll showing that 67% of Tennesseans support school choice expansion up there. And I think you're going to wind up seeing it. Governor Bill Lee, story here I got from Center Square that came out yesterday. A majority of Tennesseans polled by the Beacon Center said they support Governor Bill Lee's expansion of school choice statewide. So they've got legislation coming right now called the Education Freedom Act in the Tennessee legislature. And we're hoping to see things move this direction up there. Very similar. Students would qualify for up to $7,075 in annual scholarships for tuition fees and private school expenses if they so choose. Now listen, this is a big, hairy deal. Like I said, Donald Trump called school choice the civil rights issue of our lifetime. I'm passionate about this. I stood down there in the well of the Senate on the night that we passed what became known as the Accountability Act, which is the very first ever school choice legislation that made it through in Alabama history. It was one of my favorite nights. It was one of the nights I saw Senator Del Marsh just like come into his own, man. He was rowdy at the podium as Democrats were screaming at him. I'm talking actually screaming at him. The teachers union was having a meltdown in the hallways. They couldn't believe we were actually going to get this passed. It was a freak out on the education establishment side. And there's a video somewhere online, I saw it not long ago, of me standing right behind Dell while he's yelling at the Democrats and me yelling, "Get him, Dell! Get him, Dell!" I mean, it was one of my favorite nights in 8 years in the Alabama legislature. But this bill that we've got right now in Alabama is even better than that one. I've got articles right here, school choice is on the agenda in Texas. I've got articles where school choice is on the agenda in Idaho. I've got school choice, you know, being discussed right now in Arizona. It's just on and on and on. Not only that, there's a national push from the Trump administration. This could be a big year. Coming up next, Ryan Cantrell from the American Federation for Children. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. And also, by the way, going live next Monday on WGOW out of Chattanooga. So we're looking forward to that. So we're in this topic right now, and I just labeled the first dipper for the triple dipper today. Is this called school choice is here? Because it is. It's Donald Trump has labeled it the civil rights issue of our lifetime. We have a national focus on it right now that we have not had to this level, I think, in that I can recall. And states, though, still have the say in getting it established. It's a matter of state law as to whether you're going to have school choice. Alabama has the Choose Act. Well, somebody who's been in the mix now for years on school choice is someone who I had the pleasure of getting to know when I was working in Montgomery in the state Senate, and that's Ryan Cantrell, who is the Vice President for Government Affairs for American Federation for Children, doing work everywhere on the question of school choice. He's on the phone right now. Ryan Cantrell, how are you doing?
Still doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Outstanding, man. Well, it's good to hear your voice, and thanks for making time for us today. Hey, listen, the Choose Act, it went live. I mean, people can app, and we're hearing right now that we're going to see like record-busting applications, like 2,800 on the first day. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, listen, in some ways, this isn't a surprise. You know, Alabama is, you know, really excited about the program they passed this last year, but in some ways we were a little bit behind the curve. I mean, we've had school choice bill that, you know, you were involved in helping pass back in 2013, but it was, you know, somewhat limited in scope and not a ton of families were eligible to participate. This opens the door wide open for families across the state to you know, have an option for their child's education. And so the demand that we're seeing now really comes as no surprise. Like you said, you know, nearly 3,000 families, almost 5,000 students total, you know, applying in the first 24 hours of the application opening really just shows the demand for more options and more say in your child's education. And so it's really exciting. I think we're going to continue to see that grow. As you know, it's a $100 million program. I'd be shocked if this thing wasn't filled up long before the deadline, or if we didn't have that number of applications needed before the application deadline closes in April.
So the application closes at a certain time. That's right. You can't just apply every day of the year forever and ever. Amen.
That's right.
And my recollection, and I think I saw it in one of the articles I've got in front of me, is that it is income-based for the first 2 years, and in 2027, that's they right. opened it up for everybody. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So for, you know, the first 2 years, and you know, we at AFC deeply believe, you know, we want as many families to be eligible as possible. But at the same time, we really want to make sure that those families that need it the most are prioritized. And that's exactly what the legislature did when they designed the Choose Act by saying, listen, in the first 2 years, you have to be under a certain income threshold for a family of four. For your listeners' sake, you know, that income threshold is right around $93,000 a year. One thing that is worth noting, too, though, is You know, if you're a family making $100,000, your adjusted gross income is likely not $100,000.
Right.
And so just because your family may have a slightly higher income than the threshold, you should still apply and you should still make sure that you're not eligible due to your deductions and everything else that goes into to the taxes and all that that goes into this. So, but yeah, for the first 2 years, limited to families that meet certain income requirements. But then in year three, it opens wide up to everyone in the state of Alabama, which is really exciting.
And what do you mean? I know that there's different things they can use it for. It can be applied with a slightly less amount to homeschooling. It can be applied to education expenses. Yep. It can be applied to transition to a private school. But where do you anticipate the most usage going? Are you seeing a trend nationwide on where people use these ESAs the most?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the first handful of years, we always see private school tuition being the primary expense that's being paid, which is normal. That's what parents are most aware of and are most familiar with. But what we see is over time, and Florida is a good example of this, where they've had an ESA program in place for a long time now, is that over time you see families starting to branch out from just that private school setting. So they may start using it for a portion of it for private school. They may use it for tutoring. They may use it for at home curriculum as well. And so, like you said, in Alabama, a family that wants to move their kid to a private school gets $7,000. Homeschool families get $2,000 per student, up to $4,000 a family. And again, this is a big deal for families across Alabama who, may not have the resources or may not be able to afford to send their kid to a private school right now, but know that the environment that they're in is not beneficial for their child. And so I think, what we're going to end up seeing is not only are parents able to choose the school that works best for them, but we're going to see educational attainment quickly rise among these families who are able to move their child to another educational environment.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you mentioned Florida. I mean, they've had ESAs, Education Savings Account, which is what this is, in place for a while now. And guess what? They did not collapse the public education system, did they?
No. I mean, you look at what's happening in Florida. What's interesting is, in Florida, nearly half the students in the state, nearly half the families in their state attend a school outside of their zoned traditional public school. That could be a charter school. That could be a private school. That could be a home school. That could be another public school that's outside of their zoned district school system. But what Florida has done is they have said, listen, we aren't going to go all in on one specific education type. We want families to be able to have access to a broad number of educational resources and figure out what works best for their kid. And that's what we need to be doing. If our goal is to educate children, then it shouldn't matter what building they go to. It shouldn't matter what environment they're in. What should matter is how well they're doing and what they're able to accomplish. And that's what we want for all of our kids. That's what I want for my kids. And parents know best at the end of the day of what's going to work best for their children.
Oh, absolutely. They're the right ones to make the choice. Well, listen, let me ask you this about, so Alabama's Choose Act is in place. We're seeing the first applications, they're flooding in. But I feel like we're seeing a national trend. Like, I even got an article here, where'd it go? Somewhere in my stack, that Trump's appointment or nomination of Linda McMahon to the U.S. Department of Education, she's an absolute school choice advocate. So we're looking at a national level momentum. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, totally. I mean, you look at the movement across the country over the last 3 or 4 years. Since 2021, we've had 12 states that have enacted universal school choice programs, which means every family in the state is eligible. We have more states that are talking about it this year. You have Texas that's going to likely pass a universal school choice program. And what's funny, what's great about Texas is once Texas passes their universal program, hopefully this year, half the students in the country, 50% of the students in the country, will be eligible for a school choice scholarship.
Wow.
That's a huge...
Yeah, it is.
That's a huge movement from where we were just 3 or 4 years ago. And so this is a national movement. You have other states like Idaho and Tennessee, Georgia and South Carolina, states across the country. You even have purple states like Pennsylvania talking about passing broad-based school choice programs. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to see not just states looking at this, but I think this year you could see the federal government decide, hey, we need to figure out a way to make sure that some of these families in deep blue states that we know are not going to pass school choice, we need to make sure they have an option too. I think there's a really good chance the federal government this year and the Congress passes and the president signs a school choice law.
Wow.
At the federal level.
Wow, that would be huge. And then go ahead and fold up the Department of Education while you're at it. That'd be great. School choice for everybody.
At that point, we've put the power in the family. So
that'd be a whole new day. Well, listen, you've been in the fights. I mean, I know you have because I was there with you on some of it. But you've been in the fights where the teachers union resists. And yet they never bring up an argument that talks about what's best for the kids. They always bring up an argument that talks about why they want more for the system and about money and about pay. But they never talk about the kids, and that's really what this is about the kids.
Well, and there's never enough money either.
Oh, yeah.
In Texas, you know, we talked about Texas a second ago. It's a perfect example of this, where this last year, Governor Abbott called the legislature into a special session to try to pass school choice. What they were going to do is they were going to enact universal school choice, give every family in the state the option to participate in the school choice program. They were also going to give an additional $4 to $7 billion to the public school system.
Wow.
And the teachers union said, absolutely not. We do not want money, if it means that we're going to pass school choice. So for a group that constantly talks about not having enough money for public education, you had a really good opportunity to get a huge sum of money into the public school system, and they turned it down because they just simply oppose giving parents an option. So there is no number that's going to be high enough for them. This is an issue for them that they are not going to budge on. So it's incumbent on legislators across the country to push back on that and say, no, listen, we've funded public education. We will continue to fund public education. We can do both. We can fund public education at a high level. We can pay teachers what they deserve to be paid, and we can give families a choice in where they send their child to school.
It's exactly right. It's like an all of the above. It's like an energy policy. All of the above may actually be the best policy. I can remember being in debates. Actually, it wasn't even a debate. I was on the floor of the Senate one time, and I think it was Senator Linda Coleman Madison, who was a Democrat in Alabama. And she was at the podium, and she was talking about the budget, and she said, we don't adequately fund education in Alabama. And I went to the podium, and I said, can you tell me what number means adequate funding? And she couldn't, because they never know. All they know is they want more, and that's just not the way life works.
Well, and in Alabama in particular, I mean, you look over the last 10 years, and you look at how much our education trust fund budget has grown.
Oh, yeah.
But what a lot of people don't realize is over that same period of time, the number of students in Alabama, public school students, has actually decreased. And so we have increased funding over the last 10 years to record levels, while at the same time, we have less students than we did when we started the same 10-year period. So it really is incredible to me that we, like you said at the very beginning, so focused on money, less focused on what's best for a student. And that's what we've got to get to.
Totally agree. Hey, Ryan Cantrell, Vice President for Government Affairs at American Federation for Children, thanks for your work in this arena, and we'll keep you on speed dial, all right?
Hey, it sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Phil.
Thanks, Ryan. I met some quality people during my time in Montgomery, and that was one of them. All right, we're taking a break. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got some text messages to catch up on. Oh, yeah, I do. And y'all call in if you want to, 833-687-4448. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you could slap on a bumper sticker. I'm finishing up this discussion on school choice, and I see I got a caller on the line, so let me honor his time and take it line one, Tom from Huntsville. Hey, Tom, how you doing? Tom, you there?
Phil, good day, sir.
Hey, good day. How are you?
I'm okay. So my name is Tom. I'm retired Army. I work on the base. My wife and I have a lot of children.
Yeah.
We are one of those families that started the initial registration for the school choice money.
Yeah, good.
My only concern, well, maybe not a concern, maybe a little bit of a complaint, is the validation process to prove you have kids. You've got to send them copies of the birth certificates and additional documentation to prove where you live. Every year I submit a tax return to the state, has all my children, has their ages, their social security years. I think it should be easier to validate the family. Yeah. Our concern is that we may not be, you know, validated in time to get the first amount of money that's available this year. But who knows?
Well, that's interesting you say that. And I mean, I guess if they're going to write you a check, they got to make sure you're really the person to try and avoid fraud. But and that you've actually, you know, got proof of your children. But I would hope, though, the fact that they've got these application processes, they couldn't even start them until this week, means they're going to have them approved in time for use. How many kids do you have, Tom?
18.
Yes. Let me back up a second. Did you say you have 18 kids?
Yes.
You're going to bring us into a budget deficit.
No, I've only got a dozen in the house, and we would only use the school money for about 8 of them.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Well, first of all, thank you for your service, and thank you for populating the earth.
Not a problem. So part of that is we transitioned from homeschooling to private school because for many years we just straight up couldn't afford private school, and public school was not a good option.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, I guess so. I mean, that can get pretty expensive with that many kids. Well, listen, man, I am proud that this is there for you. I wish it had been there for all your kids along the way. By the way, what'd you do in the Army?
A variety of things. I did some enlisted time as a helicopter mechanic. Desert Storm was my first war. And then switched over to the dark side and was an ordnance officer and an ammunition company commander over in Afghanistan.
Well, again, thank you for your service, and thank you for fully populating the state of Alabama. We appreciate
you.
Not
a problem.
All right, Tom, take care, man.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you. 18 kids.
I thought he was joking at first.
I thought he was, too. I thought I'd heard him wrong. Now, I had a good friend, and I know you may know this family, and I'll mention them because they were legendary but Grissom High School, where I graduated, the O'Hallorans. Did you know the O'Hallorans?
I've known descendants of the O'Hallorans that were my age.
They had 15 kids.
Yeah, I feel like there's at least like 50 O'Hallorans walking around Huntsville.
Easily. They own half of Huntsville, I would think, at this point. But the funny thing was there was always an O'Halloran at Grissom High School, yeah, almost from the beginning. When I knew Danny, who was my friend in high school, when I knew Danny, he was in the middle of the pack. And the oldest were in their 30s with kids of their own, and the youngest was on a tricycle in the driveway. And when the last O'Halloran graduated from Grissom High School, the local Board of Education gave Mrs. O'Halloran a plaque and an award because she had had kids there forever.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, Tom from Huntsville, that is awesome. That just blessed me. All right, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, the one I love. I'm sitting in it right now, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. I mean, this show goes like from the top of Huntsville down to Birmingham, from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, about to be in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Whoop, whoop. That deserves some applause or something. Give me a hallelujah, some applause, something. I don't know what we have. Absolutely. So yeah, we do go live next week, Monday, WGOW 1150 AM out of Chattanooga. got a great signal strength on them. They are the talk conservative talk channel in Chattanooga, and they are going to be broadcasting us throughout the Chattanooga region, East Tennessee, down into almost down to Rome, Georgia, and over into Northeast Alabama. So looking forward to being on the air with them, and I guess we got to send them some more stuff, too, to make sure everything's ready to roll, right?
Yep, well, we're tracking.
Actually, let me rephrase that. It's all on them to make it work right.
Yeah, it's
we're going to be here.
We do the hard part. They got to do the rest.
Outstanding. Was there a caller on the line right now, or is that no? Okay, good. All right, let me get some text messages and catch up on some of that, because you guys are amazing. John from Huntsville checking in. He says, Phil, I think this is the first time in history you've gone over an hour and a half and still haven't read one text message, but I love the phone calls. I know, John. I mean, I couldn't even get to it, man. It's been awesome. But here we are. That may be a thing. He may be right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I do it after the monologue. But
which, by the way, is a clear indication of audience participation.
Yeah.
The energy.
You got caught up in the whirlwind.
That's right. The energy, the synergy, the stuff. Roy from Hartsville says, Phil, I know this is old hash, but how can a president that is old and decrepit stand trial for possessing documents that he shouldn't have, be able to issue can't stand trial for documents anyway, you know what I'm saying? Be able to issue executive orders and pass out awards. You know what, Roy? It begs the question. The problem we have right now is that competency is actually a legal determination, not just a notion of something we think we see. You know what? Let me rephrase that. We know we see it. The question is, can he be adjudged incompetent? I don't know. It won't happen. I think, though, oh, man, Roy just opened a whole can here for me. But I think we're going to see, this is going to be a huge scandal. As the Trump administration gets into office, I believe there's going to be people who will finally say, this happened. I didn't want to say anything because I'd lose my job. Or this happened and I was threatened and I didn't say anything. And I guarantee you we're going to find out stuff.
Well, Chuck Schumer is doubling down. He got asked on NBC. They replayed one of his comments of him saying he's sharp, and he was like, no, I wasn't lying. Okay. Sure you weren't.
Hey, Chuck Schumer. How old is Chuck Schumer?
He's got to be at least 80. Let me look.
I think he is. I think he's 80, 81. Nancy Pelosi is on a walk. Yesterday in, well, how old is he?
He's 74.
Okay, so that's not bad. I mean, 74.
It's getting there, but
74
still
is the new 60. but listen, Nancy Pelosi, yesterday in the certification vote, Nancy Pelosi was on a walker and Mitch McConnell was in a wheelchair. And you look at it and go, my gosh, y'all, just go to the house.
Yeah. God forbid they hang it up.
Just saying. Brian from Huntsville says, regarding our caller a minute ago, he said, what did he do in the Army? Did you mean beyond procreate? What did I say?
Yeah, you know, that seemed to be his job in the Army. It was procreation.
Yeah, so, well, there you go. Tom did a good job. I don't know if you heard it, Brian. He was enlisted as a Apache helicopter mechanic, I believe he said. And then he was he went to the officer corps where he was an ordnance officer and an ammo, I think he said ammo resupply company. Anyway, bottom line is, very cool service with Desert Storm and Afghanistan in the repertoire. Lynn from Knoxville, Tennessee, checking in. He said, one of the positive and negatives in Tennessee, said, of course, most everyone wants school choice, but if you graduate high school in Tennessee, you do get the first 2 years of college, meaning the community college. He said the community college system cost per hour in Tennessee is about the same as a state college in Alabama. So those are rough figures. I don't remember the exact numbers, but roughly an hour of education in the Community College of Tennessee is $700 to $800 an hour, but we are compared to Alabama's $400. Those are rough figures. Okay. Anyway, I hear you. Yeah, that's a very neat thing they've got there. You can get the first 2 years free for community college, but I think they want K through 12 stuff too. I got a call on line one, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing okay, and thanks to everybody. And I was wondering if you had thought about perhaps maybe doing an on-site at Point Park on Lookout Mountain over Tennessee in celebration of the new station.
That's not a bad idea.
Ride the trolley up.
We should ride the trolley up and then enjoy the look. Or maybe go up to, what is that? What's the college up there on the ridgeline that you can see as you're driving up the interstate? I just forgot the name of it. It's a great college, very conservative.
The Sewanee.
No, it's not Sewanee. I'll think of it here in a minute. But not a bad idea, Brian. Appreciate you, man. Take care.
Thank you.
I can't believe I can't remember the name of the college. It sits up on the ridge in Chattanooga.
It's not UTC, is it?
No. No.
I can't think of any other college in Chattanooga.
All right. This is your next job while I read text messages. Google College on the Mountain in Chattanooga. Just saying. Merle from Huntsville. Merle from Huntsville says, my granddaughter was a senior this year. They moved to Danville. So out of district, we offered to pay the $500 out of district fee. They had a out of district fee. Said they said no because she missed too many days and had low grades. She's an AB student, and her doctor wrote the school and told them that she had bad migraines and the meds she took made her sleepy. They told my daughter-in-law that didn't matter. My granddaughter, Ariana Frazier, Ariana, was so upset she didn't get to graduate with her class. That is awful. Said, I'm proud of her. She'll finish top 10% of her class. Merle from Hartsell.
Is it
Merle? Covenant College.
Covenant College, yep.
Covenant College. Yep. In fact, I see Brent from Pell City just said, and so did Casey Junebug from Hartsell. Yeah, Covenant College. Beautiful campus, by the way. Dave from Madison says, it's interesting how many rich Democrats will send their kids to private schools and oppose school choice. No doubt. TL from Huntsville reaching back in the show. He says, great monologue, Phil. This ought to be a familiar quote on leadership. Quote, lead, follow, or get out of the way. It's a demand phrase. It's a logjam breaking phrase. It's a call to action. It's also not always popular, said Phil Williams. Yes, I did. Thank you very much for that. So this can also apply to education and school choice. Yes, it can. TL, thank you for quoting me. Jeff from Indiana says, the thing to remember about a teacher's union is that it's just like every other union. They don't care about what the product they put out is. They care about their business model, which is survival and flourishment of the union as a business. No doubt. Ron from Brownsboro says, we looked at applying for the Choose Act funds for my daughter's homeschooling. I make a modest income, not enough to buy a house in Huntsville. My wife works part-time. We earn too much to qualify for the very limited funds for homeschooling. Income limit around $72,000. Not sure who will qualify without being on welfare. The Choose Act will help private schools that are willing to sign up. It's a start. Yeah, and Ron, just keep in mind, too, the income thing is only for the first 2 years. They lift the income cap in 2027, and so it goes for everybody and anybody. Is there a call on the line, dude?
Nope, but she said it was off topic, but she wanted me to remind you that the Miss Alabama who won Miss America was from Auburn, and I didn't know if you knew that.
That's right. Let us go ahead and be prepared with some hallelujahs and some applause, because Miss America was just crowned, and she is from Alabama, and she's an Auburn graduate. Thank you, Miss Alabama. Congratulations. Hit it. Nice. Good call. Thank you for that. And then I've got a bunch of people telling me Covenant College. Yes, thank you very much.
They all knew.
Yeah, they did. All right, we're going to kick off another topic. That one consumed the show for a while, and rightfully so, and for the right reason. In fact, I'll tell you what's neat. I just, during the break, I actually had to run downstairs to take care of something. I was talking to my secretary, and it dawned on me to tell her about the Choose Act, the School Choice Act. And I remembered that she's got grandkids that they homeschool, and she was excited because she was not aware. And so, listen, I think this is going to be a game changer for some people, and I think it's going to be great. So just stand by. By the way, David from Bucky's, he just checked in and said, Phil, 74 is definitely not that old when you're my age. He's 70. Yeah, I get it, man. I just keep beating back Father Time and doing what I can myself. All right, listen, this next topic we're going to be on, unless somebody's calling in about it. Is somebody calling in about it?
Steve from calling in about school choice.
Steve from Tennessee?
Steve from Huntsville.
Steve from Huntsville? Mm-hmm. Let me just grab it real quick before I go to the break. Line one, Steve from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, Colonel, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Hey, so you went to Grissom.
I did.
When it was the old Grissom over on
the OG.
Outside Jones Valley.
I went to the OG Grissom, the old gangster Grissom. That's right, there on Bailey Cove Road.
All right, so you were there in the 80s?
I was. I graduated 83.
My grandmother was the lunch manager there, and you were talking about school choice, and it just made me think. She was the first lunchroom manager that was able to procure the money, and I don't know if you can remember high school, because I can't, and I'm a little bit younger than you, but not much. But she put in a taco bar, a pizza bar, a cheeseburger bar, and children had the choice when they went to lunch on what they wanted to get.
Well, that woman deserves a plaque. Let me tell you right now, that's nothing but goodness right there.
I didn't know if you would remember, because all I remember about high school lunch is cheese pizza.
And by the way, it was a square cheese pizza too, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
That square pizza at school was always the best. I don't care what anybody says.
And the taco pizza was even better because it was shaped like a stop sign.
Steve, thanks for the call, man. Take care. That is awesome.
Have a good one.
You too. I tell you, the lunch ladies are the most underappreciated people in any school, but they will also set a tone, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're friends with them, you're good.
But also, I just have to say, I'm much younger than the both of y'all, and I had the square pizzas when I went to city schools.
It's generational.
It's generational, yeah.
Yeah, my generation, it was on Fridays, it was going to be either cheeseburgers with tater tots, or it was going to be square pizza with tater tots. And you know what? We survived, and we put a man on the moon, and all the things. Just saying. I could do a whole show on school lunches.
School lunches were, I thought they were always good. I mean, there were some days that wasn't, but
I was a fan.
I was a fan too. Yeah.
I was a fan. I tell you what's funny too. So I lived in London, England for 3 years. I went to an American school overseas. I said that the other day, and the lunchroom there was awesome because we had dorms at our high school, and so there were kids there that ate three meals a day, and so they had to be kind of game on for the food, and there was one lady that was in the lunchroom, and I just, you know, I would say hey and talk to her when I went through the line. And then a few years later, we're back in the States. I'm working at the Madison Twin Theater at the old Parkway City Mall, and this lady walks in to see a movie, and I looked at her and said, excuse me, I know you. And she looked at me funny, and I said, you worked in the lunchroom at London Central High School in London, England. And she went, I did. Anyway, small world.
I think the school lunches set the tone for my political opinions for the rest of my life, because I remember suddenly I had these square pizzas. I get to, like, what, fifth grade or so, and the pizzas went bye-bye, and I was like, what the heck's going on? And I asked my mom, and she was like, well, you know, there's a new president, and the first lady decided to fix the school lunches.
Oh,
and I was
like,
are you kidding me? You're going to take away my pizzas?
I mean, like, the world's coming to an end because we can't have square pizza? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So there was a school here. I'll, you know, we're totally on a just a tangent here, but there's at Westbrook Christian School, where I used to be on the board and Charlene worked, they had the thing called Crispitos that the students loved, and the lunchroom ladies decided to do away with Crispitos. And there was a mini revolt, and one, I'll never forget this one student who was a leader. He organized a rally for Crispitos, and he got a petition done. And dadgum, if 2 weeks later they didn't reinstate Crispitos as part of the menu.
That's great.
John from Huntsville checking in says square pieces are awesome, at least an A double plus worthy. Yes, indeed. And then Brian from Huntsville says Steve's mom put the menu in that Michelle Obama. In that Michelle Obama removed, no doubt. All right, I just ran long thinking about square pizza, and now I'm hungry. Is it possible for one of our days to be attributed to, we have Taco Tuesday, Meatloaf Monday. Do we have square pizza something?
We can squeeze it in.
We
got to
figure it out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, we apparently have a snow report coming for Friday. I mean, today's only Tuesday. If you don't like the weather in Alabama, wait 10 minutes. It can change. And how many times have we heard snow and gotten none? But I will never forget the blizzard of 93. And now that I've said that, a bunch of y'all just went, oh, God, we got to buy a milk of bread. But yeah, I mean, I know you weren't born then, but the blizzard of 93.
I didn't live through a blizzard, but what year was it we got like several feet of snow? Was it like 2011 or?
Yeah, we had another snow event. Now you're in Huntsville, I'm in Gadsden,
Huntsville,
so I feel like Gadsden always like sits here balmy and stares out the window wishing we had snow. Huntsville always gets it.
I can't remember what year. It was either 2011, 2012, something. We were out of school for like a week and a half, and we got like 3 to 4 feet of snow. And it was
We had an ice storm so blizzard in 93, and then we had an ice storm I think in 95 here, that And I mean, it was like, it was the most unusual thing I've ever seen. The streets out in front of our house, I'm holding my hands up, which does nothing for the radio, but I bet they were a half inch thick of ice.
Yeah.
It was just, it was unnatural.
And we had that, we have that big hill right by our house too that feeds into the cul-de-sac. Oh, every time it snows, everybody in the neighborhood goes to that hill and slides down it.
So I lived off of Bailey Cove Road in high school, and so did a bunch of other buddies, and including people like the Anchor Brands and all that, lived up on Huntsville Hills. And we would sled down that thing, and it was like, it was a near death experience. Just saying. Anyway, we got a potential for snow this coming Friday, and so we'll wait and see what happens. But right now, all I know is it's beautiful outside the window here at the Right Side Studios. Now we're going to start another dipper. Go figure. It's almost 4 o'clock and I'm hitting dipper number two. This one is called Jackassery, and there is a sound effect for that. Jackassery is, are you hitting it right now? You're just going to, okay. That is the sound effect for Jackassery. But Jackassery is a decision that is made by someone in authority or an elected position that you look at and go, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. You didn't even think about the consequences. And so, yeah, I've got a stack. Can you hear how thick that is? A stack of Jackassery. Not the least of which is what just happened with Joe Biden's commutations of prison sentences for people on death row. I'm going to explain it in more detail when I get back from the break, because I'm not going to make it. But I've got stuff here. I got stuff here from the Biden administration. I got stuff here from California. I got stuff here from, where was this one? Oh, also California. Dang, they're going to rack up. I got stuff here from, where was this one? Oh, climate change. Yay. That's New York. I got stuff here from Biden again with the offshore drilling, and that's going to fly like a, yeah, not going to work. Oh, by the way, did you know that you're not going to be able to get the same water heater if Biden's rule is allowed to stand?
I did not know that.
Did you know, by the way, if you move to Seattle, you can work a minimum wage job and still make $20 an hour? That's going to be great. Did you know, by the way, that that Elizabeth Warren wants the banks to be able to regulate your bank accounts in more detail?
That doesn't surprise me.
Me either. Jackassery runs deep, and I don't know what it's going to take to pull out of some of the jackassery that we are seeing, but I do know this. There's a new day upon us, and I was talking to a friend today. He said he cannot imagine what would have happened had Kamala Harris gotten elected. I do. I think the jackassery would have been exponential. I think that's all I'll be talking about every day is jackassery. Anyway, coming right back, dipper number two. Oh, yeah, I got a whole load of jackassery. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studio. Man, the local, the state, the national, we're covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So when we go live next week in Chattanooga, do I need to change that to say the Southeast, or what do I say? The Southeast syndicated news talk? What am I saying?
I think that's, yeah, Southeast syndicated news talk leader.
I like it. I like it. It's a claim. We can make it. I like it. Anyway, stay tuned for that, just so you know. Hey, by the way, let me. That reminds me of something. We just had somebody a minute ago text us and say, are you still on the air in Birmingham? And no, if you recall, or some of you recall, 101.1, our FM station out of Birmingham, we rolled off of that effective January 1st. And the reason being is we had been in contract renegotiations with them. The time was up on the term, and we decided not to renew. And it was just a business decision. We are, you know, talking about other options, but there is an option available to everybody right now. And the option is stream it online. We are doing audio and video streaming of this show right now as I speak online on multiple formats. This is how Charlene listens to the show more often than not. She pulls it up on her phone, and she's listening to it wherever she is. So here's the thing. You can get Right Side Radio's broadcast every single day anywhere in the whole wide world on the World Wide Web. Just go to YouTube for one. There's one. And by the way, if you go to YouTube, hit subscribe if you haven't already done it, because not only does that help you find us again real quick, and there's no cost for it, that helps us grow as a company. YouTube actually rewards us because there are people that hit the subscribe button on our platform. So grab it. hit subscribe. You can also follow the show every day on Twitter or X. You can see it on mine, which is at Sin Phil Williams, or you can see it on Right Side Media, which is the company's. You can see it on our website, rightsidemedia.org. All these different, and Twitch and Rumble. I mean, we're everywhere. So there ain't no reason why you should ever miss an episode, no matter where you are in the whole wide world. Just go to the World Wide Web, and you can watch audio and video of Right Side Radio's daily broadcast. Appreciate it. So I'm doing this section on Jack Assery. And I said before the break that Jack Assery in the lexicon of Right Side, most of you ruffians already know this. For those of y'all that are new to it, Jack Assery is defined as a awful decision made by someone in a position of authority, especially elected officials, for which they have not thought through the ramifications and obviously made their decision incorrectly. But we have to live with it. And that, my friends, is the definition of what we call jackassery. Which has its own sound effect. Good job, man. Here's the first one. Dateline today. So you remember last week, JP, when Biden just like decided to go ahead and commute the sentences of everybody on death row?
Yeah, pretty much everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. So 37 inmates on death row in the federal system, not states, but the federal system. And he decided, you know what? The power of the pen's amazing when you're president, even if you're not the one signing it. And so he just like, you know, I don't like the death penalty. So I'm just going to go ahead and say no more death penalty for you. And he left three, but I think it's 34. No, it was 30. That's right. There was 40 total. And he did away with 37 death sentences. Doesn't matter what the courts and the juries and the judges had all decided. Doesn't matter. They've been through the appeals process.
Great Christmas present for the victims' families, too.
Yes, and the victims' families didn't even know about it. It was like on December 23rd when he did it, and they were not even told, which was just a slap in the face. Well, you may be curious to find that two of those who got their sentences commuted are resisting it and demanding that the court reinstate their death penalties.
That actually doesn't surprise me.
Listen, the commutation of a sentence or the pardoning of someone is supposed to be done on a case-by-case basis. It's also supposed to be something that typically they have asked for. You don't go looking, all right, who got to commute today? Give me one. I don't know. Who's in prison? I'll do him. That doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. And you sure don't look at it and go, well, I just disagree with the idea of anyone getting a sentence that I think is mean. And so I can't let mean go. And so he just did away with them. But the fact that two of them have now said, no, we're not doing this, is a clear indication that this was not a case-by-case basis.
Nope.
This was jackassery of the highest order. This was awful.
Yeah, it's that is ironic and funny. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because, you know, death row inmates live a lot more comfortably than the others, but it's just funny that they're telling them, no, that they don't want it.
Well, here's the reason why, though. Because both of these... one is a guy named Shannon Nagofsky. He's 53. And another one named Lynn Davis, 60. They're both in for murder, both of which were, I think, in the midst of bank robberies, I believe. Separate crimes, but they're both in for the same reasons, sort of. They're both in the middle of an appeal. And they know that the appeal in the federal court system, the appeal of a death penalty sentence, is something which brings the law requires the court to use what's called heightened scrutiny, meaning they got to dig deep and look at everything. They can't just go, that one thing in the court, you know, the trial was bad. Heightened scrutiny brings a different level of judicial review. And they believe now that their appeals are going to be jeopardized if they're no longer on death row. They think they can actually get an appeal done that not only deals with their sentence, but with their entire conviction, and he just wiped out the heightened scrutiny that they want on their appeal.
That's just great. That's
obviously right. They didn't ask for the commutation.
Yeah, no, I don't think
so. If that's not, if that's not jackassery, I don't know what is. Well, we're just gonna go and commute that sentence. No, I don't want it. Oh, we thought you would. And no, they didn't. hit me some jackassery on that one. That was nothing but good. Here's some jackassery from California, the land of jackassery. By the way, there are some conservative wonder people out there. I mean, there's some superheroes of conservatism. You think it's easy or hard? I'm sorry. You think it's hard being a conservative in Alabama sometimes? Try being a conservative in California. The ones who are hanging on out there, they're the Alamo, man. But California right now, whew, here's another one for you, just so as you know. The California Air Resources Board, which is a thing that shouldn't exist, by the way.
Yeah.
The California Air Resources Board has posted a job application for something called a community expert. Someone who will help reshape the California Air Resources Board's approach to advancing racial equity. Because clean air is a racial thing.
Obviously, you didn't know that.
I don't know if you know this or not, but those evil white cisgender people have been sending the smoke from their smokestacks over to the poor neighborhoods. That's what happens. And you can drive down the racist roads and you can find it. And there it is. Smoke, the winds, prevailing winds blow all the smoke to the poor, demographically challenged regions of California. Here's the quote. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Brace yourself. This is jackassery at the highest order. The job posting says this. It's, quote, developing a racial equity impact analysis tool called the Racial Equity Lens to advance the agency's vision for racial equity. A future where all Californians equitably breathe healthy and clean air, benefit from actions to address climate change, and where race is no longer a predictor of life outcomes. What does that even mean?
I don't even know what that means. You lost me at the beginning.
Where race is no longer a predictor of life outcomes.
What was it ever? Or
climate change. Equitable breathing. Equitable breathing.
Equitable breathing.
Because, you know, white people breathe differently than black people.
Obviously.
Yes.
I mean, there's a department for it.
Okay, here's what is going to make some people mad. Because that's what jackassery does, is it fires people up. Oh, it's California again, by the way.
That's not surprising.
Exclusive to Fox News, Dateline 2 days ago, a young lady named Taylor Starling, she's a high school cross-country runner at the Martin Luther King High School in Riverside, California. She just lost her spot on the varsity team. You know why?
Why?
Come on. You know why. It's jackassery. Imagine why.
Something with a guy being on the team?
Yes! Because a transgender transferred into her school and got her spot on the girls' cross-country team. Not only that, but the parents are livid not just that this is being allowed, but that the trans athlete also doesn't qualify academically and is still being allowed to be on the team. So you've got other kids that miss practices or have academic problems, and they're immediately off. They can't compete. Not this one. You got a dude running chick sports and missing practices for academia, and the school district's like, we don't see a problem with this.
That checks out.
Sure. Seems legit. The families are now engaged in a lawsuit against the Riverside Unified School District, and I hope they win. When they confronted school administrators about it, here's the real kicker. When they confronted the school administrators about it, they were told, quote, transgenders have more rights than cisgenders. Show me that in the Constitution.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
Yeah. Yeah. To build a more perfect union for those who are, you know, of the belief that they are different than the way they were born biologically. This is a quote. All the administrators at Martin Luther King have stated this comment that the Title IX coordinator for the Riverside Unified School District has said that as a cisgender girl does not have the same rights as a transgender girl to multiple girls, not just our daughters, but multiple girls on campus. California does have a law, AB 1226, that went into effect in 2014 that allows students at K-12 and even college the right to, quote, participate in sex-segregated school programs using their gender identity, irrespective of the gender listed on their records. In other words, your school records might say you're a dude, but when you come in that morning, you just feel rather girlish. I feel rather girlish today. I don't feel like I should have to compete on the boys' team. I want to be on the girls' team today. Oh, by the way, can I use their locker? Awesome. Do we shower together? Even better. that's where we are right now. I'm feeling rather saucy today. Hit me some jackassery and take me to a break, brother. We're taking a break. We'll come right back. I got more jackassery. I got a whole stack of it. When I come back, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're building a house or replacing a water heater, just know life could change for you. Then again, it's like the outgoing guy who didn't know what he signed. So maybe the incoming guy who's fully aware of himself can get this undone. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a bunch of text messages that I got to catch up on a few. Let me see what I got. Oh, talking about a moment ago with the California Air Resources Board. Equitable breathing. Brian from Huntsville texts in, says, equitable breathing. And San Francisco has poo samples on the sidewalks. Yeah. Yeah, about the poo samples. You know, if you got to have a poop map, you know about that. Have you heard about this?
I have. Actually, I learned about it when DeSantis and
Newsom
had their debate, and he brought it up in the debate, and he had a graph of it.
He actually said, yeah, if you got to have a poop map, then you got problems. That's just, yeah. They're gonna have like, you know, equity in their air resources board.
And if a foreign dictator comes in, they'll clean it up real fast.
Oh, it'll look spotless.
Yeah.
Roy from Hartsville says, Phil, I was born way too soon. In my day, boys dreamed of peeking in the girls' locker room. Nowadays, you got to be clean to be a girl, and you're in there. Yep, that's where we are, dude. Mike from Coxey, Alabama says, this is available at the Foodland, and it tastes about the same. Oh, you can actually go by, and they call it school pizza. Look at that.
I saw that. That's interesting.
I've never seen that. He bought it at Hometown Grocery, and it's packaged. It's a square. It looks just like, has that weird kind of square shape, and has the cheese. School pizza.
I love how they call school pizza.
Let's call it school pizza. There ought to be more school pizza. Yes. Everybody needs some school pizza in their life. Gary H. Got the word about the Birmingham. Thank you very much. David Bucky's, again, he says, Phil, we moved to Huntsville in 1965 from Florida. We experienced our first snowfall on November 3rd. I believe it was 8 inches. I think it's the earliest snowfall ever in Huntsville. We were warned not to eat the snow as there was fear the snow was caused by nuclear fallout from a Soviet test. Wow. 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 That's crazy.
That is nuts.
Don't eat the snow. It could be nuclear. Yes. Your poop map will glow at that point. So the blizzard of 93, I told the story before, but as we approach Snowmageddon on Friday this week.
Snowmageddon.
So the blizzard of 93, we were living briefly over in Georgia, and Charlene had just taken the kids who were little bitties to go see the grandparents. They were down in Mobile. And I came down with the worst case of flu I've had in my life, maybe. And I was miserable sick. And she was gone with the kids. And I said, don't come home. I'm really, really sick. And so she stayed down there. And I had somebody deliver some medicine to the house. And I just, like, hunkered down. But we didn't have a TV in the bedroom. And I was so miserable. I think I slept for, like, 16 hours. And next thing I know, she calls to wake me up. And I said, oh. And she goes, how much snow did you get? I said, what snow? And she goes, the snow, the blizzard. How much snow did you get? And I said, what are you talking about? And she says, look out the window. And I leaned over because there was a window next to the bed, and I kind of pulled back the shade, and I went, holy crap, because the drift was up to the window. I had no idea. I slept through the whole blizzard.
That's good.
I didn't know it was coming.
That's funny.
And I just woke up, and I was. She couldn't come home for the next, like, 10 days. And I was snowed in with the flu. Luckily, my power never went out.
Yeah, that would have been the cherry on top.
That would have been something like epic of, you know, survival mode. JT Lacey Spring says, jackassery. Dudes participating in girl sports is just nuts. Yes, it is. JR from Rogersville, Alabama. That's a great city. Yep. We got Ken up yonder, Rogersville. Says, Colonel, in 1983, I was a crew member with a NATO AWACS. I graduated from high school in 1967. You, sir, are a spring chicken. So what you're trying to say is when I was just a twinkle in my mama's eye, you were already out there doing stuff. But, well, JR, appreciate you, man, and thanks for your service. Jeff P. from ARAB says, we had snowdrifts 30 feet deep It was so crazy. I had to climb out of my window to open our front door because we were trapped inside. I was only 13. I remember it like it was yesterday. That was big doings, man. Big doings. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I lived in Huntsville my entire life. I'm not buying milk and bread because I don't trust the meteorologists. They've been wrong so many times. Well, now that you said that, it's going to snow like crazy. Ken from Decatur says, got to be pizza Friday. And then Bruce from Springville says, yeah, graduated in 81. Square pizza and spaghetti were the bomb. There you go. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama, y'all, Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like from the top of Huntsville down to Birmingham and all from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden and Georgia, Tennessee, and parts of Mississippi even thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, next Monday, we go live on WGOW out of Chattanooga. So we're excited to be adding the Chattanooga, East Tennessee region, the Northwest Georgia areas that are part of that listening area, and, oh, by the way, pieces of Northeast Alabama that we can't quite get to because of the mountains. We do now, but we're pretty stoked about it. So anyway, looking forward to that. We'll keep you posted. Just so as you know, I believe tomorrow production's finished on my latest podcast. Should be going out tomorrow. Am I right?
Yep, 11 a.m.
You already got it in the hopper? Good to go. You're awesome. yeah, so my latest podcast that comes out tomorrow, the Right Philosophy video podcast. By the way, I filmed those at my house, in my study at the house, and really love the production quality and what the team does to put it together and get it out on time. Comes out every Wednesday. It's called The Right Philosophy. And this week is on presidential participation trophies. Yeah, because it's jackassery. That's why. So presidential participation trophies, that's my latest Right Philosophy podcast, comes out tomorrow. We already have one that just came out in the last couple of days. We have four podcast lines, in case you haven't seen them. They're awesome. You can either listen and or watch. They are video, but you can always just choose to listen to the audio. But the controversial mom, Emily Jones, her piece came out this past Sunday on the social-emotional learning stuff in schools right now, and it's really, really well done. So there's that one. And then the Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson comes out on Thursdays, and then Right Click with Birdman comes out on Fridays. So we got a whole panoply. A panoply, if you will, of podcasting. I have not used that word before.
Panoply.
A panoply of podcasting. I like it.
It works.
Let's do some more jackassery. What do you say?
I say.
You say that. Yeah, you do. Jackassery. So, jackassery, in case you're not... We have our own lexicon here at Right Side Radio. We have words that are part of the fabric of the show. Things like kekistocracy, which is a government run by the least competent of its citizens. We have, you know, any number of things that we talk about on a regular basis. All our people are called Right Side Ruffians. And, oh, by the way, every once in a while we have to talk about jackassery. So this is one that qualifies. The Biden administration, you know, this flurry of executive orders and actions by Biden. Some people say it's the Biden administration's anger. They're like it's like having a tantrum. That Charlene and I were talking this morning, and she said it's like he's angry, and he's just lashing out on his way out the door. Maybe that's what it is. It's like it's like a tantrum.
Yeah, throwing a pity party.
It is. Well, I'm going to do this. Well, you can't stop me. I still got a pen. I'm going to do this. Don't you try to. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do this. Well, you know what? Some of the stuff he's doing is just complete jackassery. Because not only is it going to get undone, but it was stupid to begin with, like this one. The Biden administration, according to Fox Business Dateline 2 days ago, is banning certain natural gas water heaters because that's going to help. It's part of their climate change agenda. By the way, just so as you know, Joe Biden, your agenda ends in 10 days. There, I said it. It's a move that critics say will jack up energy costs for low-income and senior households especially. The move in the final days of the administration will take, go figure, non-condensing natural gas-fired water heaters off the shelves by 2029. This is not going to stand up.
No.
Listen, the the natural gas, you know, what am I trying to say? Advocates are already out there saying, stop. This is, and by the way, it's a final rule. It's issued as a final rule from what's known as the Energy Policy and Conservation, and it's Department of Energy. And they didn't even go through the usual public announcement phase. They just did it. Because, ta-da. Yeah, like shabam.
Surprise.
Hope nobody notices. We dropped this thing in there. Little turd in your punch bowl right there, just so as you know. But yeah, the Department of Energy just dropped this thing right after Christmas, hoping nobody would notice, I guess. No public announcements. And Fox Business reached out to the DOE for comment and got pretty much nothing. The American Gas Association calls it deeply concerning and irresponsible. And then basically what it does is it makes the cost of living more expensive. But, you know, climate change and things.
That is
existential threats.
That is the priority.
Hit me some jackassery again. Why not? I got this one, which just feels like jackassery, and I had to pull it out. Hotair.com has a piece. New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Boy, if you're looking for a jackassery prom date, that's her right there. But New York Governor, I don't know where I come up with some things that come out of my mouth sometimes.
The jackassery prom date was a good one.
I don't know. Anyway, so she's real serious about climate change and things, stuff, and yeah. So New York has all their airports and things that they got to deal with, and it's a big deal. And so Governor Kathy Hochul is promoting her climate change agenda by flying around the state on her private jet to warn people about climate change.
Yeah. Well, they can't contribute to it. This just, you know, lower level people like us that contribute to it. They don't emute carbon or, put carbon out there.
They don't. Mm-mm. And their poop don't smell either.
No.
Doesn't. So Governor Hochul also recently approved a controversial law that would force oil, natural gas, and coal companies to pay up to $75 billion for carbon emissions, allegedly contributing to global warming. She has taken at least 30 flights aboard private jets in the last couple of years. Never mind. Not, you know, rules for thee, not for me. That's where we are. By the way, that reminds me. I didn't even think about, by the way, that's jackassery, just so you know. But I didn't, I should have pulled this story. Did you see about the congestion zone thing in New York City?
I did not, no.
They're very excited about it. New York. There are now areas of New York City where you have to pay a toll to drive around in the area. Otherwise, you get a ticket because it's considered a congestion zone fee.
Mm.
They're trying to reduce traffic and force you onto the subways where nothing bad ever happens.
Well, what could go wrong on the subways?
Listen, I don't care how you feel about smog. We need you to risk your life on the subway, please, today. That's where we are. Either that or we're going to give you a ticket. So there's, I mean, that's, I didn't have that in front of me. I just remember that's jackassery. Just saying. I may need to do a segment on that tomorrow.
That's
because, you know,
crazy.
London's doing the same thing too. London, I did a piece a while back. They called the ULEZ. What does that stand for? The ultra low emission zones of London. And it's now expanded to, it was at one point, one part of London. And then the liberal mayor of London decided it was so neat, he made it everything. And so there are now people who, and they put up security cameras everywhere. And there are now people who call themselves Blade Runners. And their thing is they go out in the dark of night with saws and they cut down cameras so the people can't get tickets.
Wow.
And there's whole websites out there now to help you dodge the cameras. So if you're going to your office and the straight shot takes you past a camera, the website will, sort of like Waze, will teach you how to go take a right here and a left there, and you'll come back around the block, the backside, without being seen by the camera. it's a whole cottage industry.
Yeah.
But the Blade Runners, you ought to look it up real quick. Look up Blade Runners London, and I guarantee you, they've got YouTubes. I mean, they go out and they'll take power saws, and they'll wear ski masks, and they'll cut down whole poles. And I'm not little bitty poles. They're cutting down, like, big poles.
Oh, yeah.
You see them?
Blade Runners, yep.
Blade Runners. That's what we're going to have in the congestion zone of New York City. Blade Runners are going to arise. Here's one for you. I mean, why not? you know, as Biden throws his tantrums and kicks and screams and is petulant and wants stuff, he also just decided that on the way out the door, he was going to make sure that Trump was going to have a hard time unleashing American energy dominance. Woke Spy has the article, Dateline January 3. President Joe Biden prepares to exit the Oval Office. His administration is reportedly gearing up to deliver a final parting gift to environmental activists, one that could deal a lasting blow to American energy independence. According to Bloomberg News, which, by the way, he did do it, Biden is planning to impose restrictions on offshore oil and gas drilling. Well, he did. 625 million acres of offshore. Basically, what he did was he ringed the entire country, with the exception of part of the Gulf Coast area, which I believe actually is Alabama's waters, did not get included for some reason. But all of Florida, ringing the entire Florida, all the way up the East Coast to Maine, and on the West Coast from Florida down the coast of California. No drilling allowed. No exploration for oil and gas. None. Why? Because, you know, climate change and things.
It's unsafe.
You can put up a windmill farm in the middle of the whole, you know, offshore waters and kill whales and cause all kinds of havoc. But you cannot have an oil rig. No.
He knows it's going to get overturned day one.
Well, the problem they got with that is he cited congressional action as his basis for doing so. And what that means is as soon as Trump undoes it on day one, which he says he will, the grounds for a lawsuit immediately commences. And some liberal judge somewhere is going to look at the activists and go, file it in my court. I got you covered. Just saying. What time do I have? I got more.
You got a little bit of time.
The jackassery stack is deep. Just so you know, in Seattle, they just recently hiked the minimum wage. Hiked it. You can now go now work at Bebop's Waffle Shop. Oh, no, you can't because they close their doors.
Mm.
Bebop Waffle Shop. Now, by the way, this has to be one of the wokest things I've ever heard. But they went from $17 an hour minimum wage in Seattle to Seattle deciding to set the minimum wage over $20. Over $20. It's $20.76 an hour. And the interesting thing is, like the Bebop Waffle Shop, they had a big party on December 31st, New Year's Eve, and then January 1st, they locked their doors forever and shut down because they knew they weren't going to be able to sustain the minimum wage requirements. So you're watching businesses shut down overnight. Here's the dynamic this makes it like how do you, I don't know how to compare to this. The owner of the Bebop Waffle Shop says, I hate to close a safe space for queer people at this time. That's her takeaway. Her takeaway was not jobs and the economy and waffles. No, there's not anything about this is my business. I put my heart and soul into it. No, she hates to close a safe space for queer people at this time. So I guess what I'm looking at here is maybe the whole equity thing backfired as they raised the minimum wage, but they shut down. Are they now dealing with food inequity?
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
That's what it appears to be to me.
We at least have waffle inequity.
Yeah, that is a priority right there.
The Bebop Waffle Shop shut down, and I'm sure they're not going to be the last. Anthony Anton, a guy who's head of the Washington Hospitality Association, estimates Seattle's going to see 5 to 8% of its restaurants go out of business this year alone because they can't sustain the minimum wage requirement of $20.76 an hour. Unbelievable. It hit me some jackassery. And take me to a break. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We're taking the last break of the day. We'll come right back and wrap it up with some text messages and general jargon. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Pulling pins on truth grenades, dropping truth bombs, saving the world one soundbite at a time, giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. There, I did the whole T-shirt in one time.
Bulletproof influence.
Oh, bulletproof influence. I forgot that one. All right. Let me get a few text messages real quick. By the way, just so you know, Tom from Huntsville, if you're still listening, we now have you listed in the in the text lines as Tom with all the kids. We do.
Know exactly who that is.
Loving it. Yeah. Don't want to confuse you with anybody else. When they see a text coming from Tom, it's Tom with all the kids from Huntsville. He actually said, Phil, it's Tom with all the kids. I got plenty of stories if you want to talk. I'm sure you do, man. John C. from Madison said, I'm originally from Ohio. Remember in January or February of one year, I took the garbage out in my bare feet in about 6 inches of snow. Too big of a pansy to do that anymore. Yeah, that I'm going to say that wasn't smart. But anyway, it's one thing to run out there. Just don't stay out there. David from Bucky's again says, this is how winter weather is now gauged. The bumblemeter. Oh, the bumbles bounce. The bumblemeter. By the way, Charlene just texted me an image. It's getting real, y'all. They're looking at, 5 to 6 inches around North Alabama everywhere, maybe even up to 8 in the Huntsville region. So, whew, just go ahead and listen. Go ahead and make sure your plants are covered, your pets are taken care of. And I'm being serious when I say all that. And you got gas for the grill. Just saying. Graham from Meridianville says people in New York City are altering their license plates to avoid the fees. Good for, you know what? I did not extol the virtues of criminal activity, but it is funny.
Yeah.
JT Lacey Springs says, jackassery extreme. Phil, don't you know banning water heaters to save gas to generate electricity to charge EVs? I've decided to be a conservative. Steward of the environment. So I unplug EVs when I see them. Just walks along unplugging EVs. I'm sorry, I'm saving the environment.
That's funny.
Grades are in. John from Huntsville says, JP gets a perfect A triple plus for his awesome jackassery and hallelujah sound effect skills and for talking about how amazing square pizzas are. Phil also gets an A triple plus for taking all those magnificent phone calls, still finding a way to read tons of text messages. So congratulations, JP and Phil. You are today's co-champions. Congrats and well done. Thank you, John. Appreciate you. We got about a minute left. I got to tell you, there was a crazy press conference today. You were telling me part of it.
Yeah.
With Trump.
At Mar-a-Lago.
Are we buying Greenland?
That seems to be like he's making a push to do that. Well, Donald Trump Jr. and Charlie Kirk were in there.
Yes.
We're at Greenland today. And
Trump Force One flew to Greenland. We know that.
He also said in the press conference that he's considering tariffs against Denmark if they don't, quote, play nice with his purchase request.
Is that the same press conference where he announced that the Gulf of Mexico is going to be renamed as the Gulf of America?
The Gulf of America.
I'm digging it. The Gulf of America. Why not?
So we're not having president press conference. He's not even in office yet of taking back Canada. Oh, we never had it, but taking Canada, Greenland, making the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America, and taking back the Panama Canal.
Do you know why not?
That screams golden age of America incoming.
The golden age of America, the height. Of empire building. It's time. I've already seen videos on social media of what it would look like if the United States actually had Greenland.
Yeah.
And Canada and they even suggested, why don't we go and just make Mexico? I don't want Mexico.
No, I don't either. But no. it would be funny. But yeah, I've already seen people too claiming that he's threatening to invade Greenland, invade Canada. I don't think that's what he means.
I don't think so. There's only 50,000 people that live in Greenland.
Yeah, and they were wearing MAGA hats when Donald Trump Jr. landed. So maybe they want it.
Stand by, folks. It's about to get real. All right, listen. That's the music playing, so you know we're done. We're back here again tomorrow. I got a great day laid on for you. It should be the Grand Council at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And, oh, by the way, don't forget, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.